Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in snowy New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I guess the big news, folks, this week is that there's a signing, a re-signing, I should say, and a departure in the world of WWE. And let's first start with the re-signing, as AJ Styles reportedly signs a 3-year deal with the WWE worth in excess of $3 million a year. Makes him one of the highest paid wrestlers in the WWE currently. One of, not the most, but one of. And I hear there are perks added to that contract. I think there might be a private bus. When you say a private bus, too, we're not talking about, you know, school bus. We're talking about one of those that have, bedrooms and living room and probably for AJ Styles, hookups for video games and all kinds of stuff. I guess so family can travel with you, or you don't have to travel by rent a car, and you don't have to stay in a hotel if you don't want, a lot of different things. So this is how much the WWE was willing to offer AJ Styles. And I think part of the reason that that is true is because AJ Styles has shown the ability to be able to adapt and excel in whatever situation they give him. We're going to talk about this a little bit before we get to the departure and some other things that's on the agenda. But we had said for a long time here on WrestleChat Radio that your average fan who just tunes in to watch wrestling, and they know who they like and they know who they don't like, and they know which federations they find exciting, which federations they don't, often really don't want to delve into the business aspect of it. They're not thrilled with how the hot dog is made, exactly. But we do try on this show to explain it, because sometimes it affects what you see. And we were saying for a long time that, you know, there are people who maybe you don't like AJ Styles. Maybe you think, he's become boring, he's not the same. But here's what you have to understand about professional wrestling. In order for you to be valuable to a company, really and honestly valuable, anybody can catch fire for a year and be a big deal and draw. In order to be extremely valuable to a company, you have to be able to excel at whatever job they currently think you're best suited to have. And when AJ Styles first came into this federation, he very clearly did not fit. Very clearly. I was very skeptical of whether he was even going to succeed in the WWE, because his matches that he was having early on with Chris Jericho, they weren't lighting the place up. He seemed uncomfortable. And he admitted it. He admitted it in an interview where he said, I didn't really know this style, and I wasn't really comfortable with what my position is. So what I did was I went to Vince McMahon, and I said, exactly what is it that you want? Because I can't give it to you unless I know exactly what it is you expect of me. And you saw a little bit different AJ Styles after that. He's a very adaptable person because he's a professional. And when you want him to be the champion, he's the champion. He's the guy who comes across as, it's going to be extraordinarily tough to beat someone with my experience and my expertise. When you want him to be the clown, he can be a clown. When you want him to put somebody over, he can put somebody over. When you want him to tutor someone and bring them along until they reach a certain degree and be the, you know, mother hen, so to speak, he can do that. He also can represent the company outside the ring because he's articulate enough and he's a family man. He has a lot of stuff going for him. And he's able to adapt to whatever situation you put him in, whereas some people say, well, when I'm on top, I'm good at being on top. When I'm on the bottom, I can't function, and I complain, and I say, well, where's my push? And if you want me to try to, you know, put somebody else over, I'm saying, is this going to be the end of my career? Why am I putting this guy over? Why isn't he putting me over? And then you have, of course, well, why should I go along with this guy and teach him how to basically replace me in my job? AJ Styles did none of that. You know, we always hear, well, you'd be buried. AJ Styles lost to Almost in 40 seconds. Where's Almost and where's AJ Styles as we speak? AJ Styles just signed a $3 million contract. I haven't seen Almost on television in weeks. It's not always just what you see, folks, on television or even live in the arenas. It's what's happening behind the scenes that makes you valuable, what you have to give to this company. It also did not hurt that AJ Styles, when obviously sought by AEW, and obviously has friends over there, really good friends, said in an interview, I would be perfectly happy ending my career with WWE and then going on to some sort of perhaps behind-the-scenes role with the company or staying with the company. I feel like this is home. Well, if you say that and your name is, you know, Joe Dubrone, that's you saying, please keep me for the rest of my life. I feel like being kept house cat. Styles says it. It sends a message to a lot of other wrestlers. Well, I don't know. AJ Styles is an accomplished professional wrestler who's had a mega career, and he doesn't seem to be shitting on the WWE. Maybe I can make a name for myself over there. See how that works? So AJ Styles literally saying the WWE would be a company I'd be perfectly happy not only ending my career with, but continuing my career behind the scenes with, is the same thing as telling young up-and-coming stars, if I can make it here and I'm perfectly happy here, don't believe all the horror stories you hear. So there's a lot to this, folks. Now, is AJ Styles worth $3 million a year? Yeah, probably. And I know there's some people saying, well, they're not going to pay him $3 million to drop in 30 seconds to Almost. You're absolutely correct. There's probably a major title run in AJ Styles next 3 years. Absolutely correct on that. AJ Styles didn't sign 3 years to count the ring lights every week. That's for sure. They're not going to give him $3 million to count the ring lights, even if he would. Even if he said, I don't give a damn. Give me $3 million a year, and I don't care if I lose to Michael Cole. They're not going to do it. If they're going to give him $3 million, they want some return on their investment, which means he's going to be used in a major way. And, of course, he knows that. He knows that, too. Now, to his credit, he's not a super young man. And he also knows if he's going to have a title run or he's going to have a big part on the card, he's probably going to have to wrestle a few more years than he actually wanted. But I guess the reward is worth the risk when you're making $3 million a year. So, Mike, all of these things factor in when you're deciding whether to sign somebody or not. And a lot of times it's the things we don't see or we don't take into consideration that gets these guys the major contracts.
I mean, look, he played nursemaid to Almost, right?
Yep.
They asked him to do that. He did it. All right. I mean, it's almost like what Randy Orton's doing with Riddle. But again, yeah. But again, Randy Orton. Well, we know who. If he doesn't like to do anything, he's not going to do it. You know, just because. And that I don't know if I would call him consummate pro Randy Orton, but that's neither here nor there. In terms of if they want to, hey, $3 million plus a tricked out bus, you know, I mean,
yeah.
go, go ahead. Go ahead. You know, now, granted, we don't know what type of what title he's going to be. It's going to be yet. I mean, I would assume $3 million a year plus that bus. That bus has got to. It's probably one of those type of buses that you get when you know, like rock stars get, you know, or
yep.
like exactly. Somebody like a Will Smith or somebody like that would get, you know. But yeah, we'll see what title reign, because right now we know who the WWE is around. We know who the Universal is around, and as of right now, the Universal is not going anywhere, and who knows with the WWE title now. Could he eventually win the U.S. title or the Intercontinental title? Well, I mean, I'd like to see a series of matches between him and Nakamura, you know.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, they got 3 years to play, and I guarantee you that within the 3 years, he'll have a world championship belt, one of the two, even if it's for a brief time. I truly believe that that's what they'll do with him. But as we were saying, it's sometimes the things you don't see behind the scenes. Remember when everybody had to end their Twitch account? Remember when Zelina Vega was saying, I don't want to end my Twitch account, and her husband there, Tommy End, was crying about it, saying, this is not fair, this is this, that, and the other thing. What did AJ Styles say? Fun while it lasted, guys. We'll see you down the road. He never puts up any fuss. He's one of these dudes that's just, you know, he's going to be one of these guys that's just easy to work with, because no matter what happens, he's not in the press saying, I'm being treated unfairly. This is terrible. I'm a universal superstar, and I got to lose to some jabron in 30 seconds. He doesn't say anything. He just doesn't say anything. And he doesn't have a bad word to say about anybody. You put a microphone in his face and say, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of AEW? What do you think of Impact? What do you think of whatever? He has nothing bad to say. He just goes on with his business. He doesn't get sucked into this drama. And WWE knows that. When's the last time you heard any drama involving AJ Styles? I'll wait. You haven't. None. Zero. Zilch. That means something to the company. And like I said, when you make a statement saying you'd be perfectly happy to end your career here and then continue to work behind the scenes in some capacity if you're needed, that sends a message to people who may be thinking about signing with the WWE, but say, well, I don't know. A lot of people had an awful lot of bad things to say. This guy said bad things, and that guy said bad things, and Andrade said they were garbage, and this guy said they were garbage. But then they look at a guy like AJ Styles and say, well, I don't know. AJ Styles has had some hell of a career, and he certainly wrestled for every federation you could possibly think of. He's not saying that. So maybe it's just these guys. Maybe they just had a problem because they're the way they are. And I could see AJ Styles working behind the scenes in WWE as a talent recruiter or talent relations or something, and really being that type of guy that has that much respect that he could probably get stuff done. So, again, WWE was not about to lose him. And $3 million a year and your own traveling arrangements, Todd, pretty much tell the story that they feel he's one of their most valuable players.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said about AJ Styles. After when his WWE career is over, like you said, he could be a backstage agent or an NXT trainer or maybe a producer for the WWE, or maybe a writer, one of those things. He got respect for the business, and he acts professional. It's called professionalism. You never heard a bad thing he said about anybody at all.
No, I mean, it goes for something. Now, to contrast that, Cesaro let his contract run out. And I guess they could not come to terms on his value. He wanted, the WWE did offer him a renewed contract, but they could not come to terms with the amount of money. Now, Cesaro is probably my second favorite wrestler next to AJ Styles, so this comes as a bit of a blow. I was happy that AJ re-signed, and I was shocked and upset that Cesaro didn't. However, let's contrast the two. I would say Cesaro is pretty close to, if not as good as, and some people might even say more fun to watch than AJ Styles. He's another guy who, there's no drama. There's no drama with Cesaro. Not complaining and bitching and moaning every 5 seconds. He just goes about his business. However, there is one difference with Cesaro. And that difference was he was limited to the roles he could play. Could he play heel and face? Yes. Did he always give a great performance in the ring? Yes. Did they think of him as someone who could bring along younger talent? No. When did they put him with guys to bring along younger talent? Did they think of him as someone they could hand the microphone and just say, go out there and hit your bullet points? And no, they didn't. They understood that Cesaro had a big problem when it came to the mic use. Did they think of him as someone who they could put on top anytime they wanted to and make it seem, and they could sell their match and make it seem natural? No, not toward the end, they didn't. I think they really thought, look, Cesaro is a guy who's going to be a great worker, going to put on really solid matches, but he's not that guy that if we put the belt on him, we can expect draws, we can expect merchandise sales, we can expect all that stuff. I don't think they thought that. That's a problem. Whereas you can, to a degree, do that with a guy like AJ Styles. So, you know, it depends on how much Cesaro wanted. There's no real reveal about how much he asked for or how much the WWE offered him. But I think Cesaro, in his mind, probably asked for more than he knew they would give him. And I'll tell you why. I think Cesaro knew the writing was on the wall. I think Cesaro knows that WWE is a company that bases itself primarily on the entertainment value of their athletes and not their actual ability necessarily. If you have both, great. Cesaro was one of those guys that was entertaining in the ring, but outside the ring, he was quite limited to what you could give him. He wasn't able to grab that microphone and put himself over. He wasn't able to move merchandise based on his charisma, his personality, or his catchphrases, or anything else. He was just a great, great worker. And I think he realizes, I need to go to a place that's going to accentuate my strengths and eliminate my weaknesses. You know, Paul Heyman once said that directly to me. He said you could never compete with, at least ECW, could never compete with WWE because they had a budget that was ridiculous, and ECW had no budget. So he said, yeah, so we're playing small fairgrounds and we're playing small buildings, and, you know, we can't hope to come out here with all kinds of fireworks and, you know, multi 5, 7, 12 camera angles and all kinds of stuff. We can't do it. So you have to accentuate your positives and eliminate the negative. So you eliminate the negative by making it look like you're having edgy camera work. Oh, it's almost like fan cam because we're cool. When in reality is, it's almost like fan cam because that's all we can afford. Okay, some of our wrestlers aren't, you know, top-notch, what do you want to call them, technicians. So we'll brawl a lot with them. Okay, so some of our wrestlers aren't great on the mic, so we'll come up with something for them so they don't have to be. He always said, accentuate your strengths. Whatever your strength is, accentuate it and try to eliminate what is not your strength. Cesaro's strength is not the mic. Cesaro's strength is not his natural charisma. Cesaro's strength is his technical ability in the ring. And for once, even though I say their roster is bloated like a pig, this is somebody AEW absolutely has to pick up. Absolutely has to. If they don't pick up Cesaro, the style of wrestling that AEW does on a regular business, regularly do, then that's almost malpractice. Cesaro fits in there like a hand in a glove and could instantly go for any of the championships that's out there. And I think AEW fans would accept him wholeheartedly. And why he didn't go to – I guess it's just the money he didn't go to NXT. Now, that's a WWE problem. Declining. WWE says NXT 2.0 is not what they thought it would be. And WWE says we got to keep our WWE stars over there like Dolph Ziggler and AJ Styles and Robert Roode to draw. You had Cesaro. So it really all just came down to money. Hate to say it, Mike, but AJ's $3 million might have left Cesaro with his hand in his butt because they were going to give, you know, that kind of money to Cesaro.
Right. And that's the thing. And you're right about, it would be a malpractice if Tony Khan didn't sign him. It would be malpractice, you know. That he fits in right there. And look, he could be heel, he could be face, and hell, he could be a guy that could go in that Hardy family office and have Matt Hardy speak for him, or have Andrade El Hilo speak for him, you know, guys that are better on the mic than him, you know. So, yeah, there are ways to work Cesaro win. And look, as far as just one more thing about AJ Styles, another guy that's in AJ Styles' kind of thing is that the WWE better not let go is Sheamus. Because what he's doing right now with Ridge Holland is exactly what AJ did with Almost,
yeah. Yeah, and I don't think, though, you know, Sheamus is one of those guys. I got a feeling he's going to be a WWE life or two. He has no interest, I don't think, in pursuing any more wrestling because of his injuries and things. WWE knows he doesn't have any major interest in, I want to sign for 3 years with some other company and bust my ass. So I think the writing's already on the wall there that Sheamus is going to just ease his way out of in-ring work little by little and probably end up being a trainer or something else behind the scenes, maybe a manager. I mean, they're already kind of doing that thing, or we're doing that. So, I mean, matter of time to see. Now let's get to what everybody's been talking about, because there's a couple of different ways to look at this situation that happened on AEW. By the way, we should say this. AEW Dynamite is in some trouble, folks. You can't draw 400,000 people. You can't do it. I don't know whether they cut themselves too thin with a second show or not, because their normal show is doing fine, but you can't have 400,000. It's embarrassing, actually. I mean, I know that NXT's not doing much better, but that's considered like third string WWE show as compared to this is their show. So, anyway, what everybody's talking about, of course, is MJF's promo and how real it was, if it was fake, if it was made up, if it's a bluff. Well, there's a lot of possibilities here. Is it a bluff for the match? Yeah. Listen, you're not turning MJF face in the middle of a CM Punk feud. And if you were going to turn him face, you would have done it right then and there and had CM Punk come out and basically turn heel, I guess. That's not what happened. However, it appears that what he said was actually true, to some extent at least, because they backed it up with some tweets he actually had made back then, explaining that he was okay with the football, but he really didn't, that wasn't his first love. He didn't really want to be a football player so much. as he wanted to be a professional wrestler. And here's the danger. There's some good things and there's some bad things. I have always been a huge fan and a huge believer of mixing real life with fantasy in professional wrestling, because it clouds that believability, where you say, well, that must have come from the heart because some of that is true. Well, we can document that some of that is true. And if some of it's true, maybe all of it's true. See how that clouds things? You say one or two things that is provably true, and then if you exaggerate the rest, everybody just thinks everything is provably true. So he did a fantastic job of it. There is a danger behind this, a hidden danger behind this. And that is when you start bringing up things like ADD and anti-Semitism, turns out that they've written this to be a ruse. And he, after this CM Punk match, in any way, shape, or form, says, I outthought CM Punk. I made him second guess whether he wanted to beat me that badly. I got in his head. I used my own issues, even though they were real. I used my own issues to beat him. I psychologically destroyed CM Punk, who was supposed to be the most psychological. There's going to be backlash. Should there be backlash? No. Absolutely no, with a capital N. But there will be. Because you're talking about a very woke crowd who's then going to say, oh, they're real good using ADD as a gimmick. I know somebody who has ADD and it's not funny. Oh, real good using anti-Semitism as a gimmick. I know somebody who's a victim of it. It's not funny. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Gone are the days when these promos, you know, everybody was saying to me, was that such a great promo? Yes. Now let me tell you something about that great promo. That was commonplace 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Half a dozen people could cut those promos and did on a regular basis. And then they stopped them because they said, well, you can't go here and you can't go there and you can't say this and you can't say that. And because of all our sponsors, we have to write every single one of your promos down word for word so you don't say anything naughty or anything that could get us in trouble or anything that could be construed as something that could be insulting to someone somewhere. And that's when wrestling started losing their great promos, because you had to be so ultra careful about everything you said that it wasn't funny anymore, and it wasn't fun. And you couldn't suspend people's disbelief, because all you could basically say is, my opponent stinks and I'm great. I remember when Mick Foley gave a promo that I think is better than what MJF gave. And it was in ECW, where he claimed that every single time he passed the hallway, he saw his grandfather's picture. And his parents would tell him, your grandfather was a hero in the war. Your grandfather was this. Your grandfather was that. I'm so proud. You know, all growing up, I was so proud. And then I found out what my grandfather was a hero for. He bombed innocent women and children in the war. And it was a very cutting promo. And it was basically Mick Foley saying, that's why I'm not dying for you people anymore. I'm not being your hero anymore. I'm not being your hardcore legend anymore. You people all suck. All you ever came to do is see me get hurt. All you ever came to do is see me suffer. And somehow you got a big throw out of watching me suffer while I'm done suffering for you. To this day, it's probably the best promo I ever heard, because it had so much realism and emotion in it. Now, it's probably all bullshit that was made up, but it had a feel of realism. And this MJF promo was the same way. Now, he seemed a little comfortable at times, but that could be because some of it was real. And you're actually airing some of your real stuff, and there's always a danger in that. But I want to give credit to both people, and I'll tell you why. If I were CM Punk, who I've gotten on, nobody's gotten on CM Punk more than me, and I still don't like him. But I'm going to give him credit. Because if I were CM Punk, I think I would say, wait a minute. This is not the kind of promo I want you to cut before we have this match, because half the crowd's going to root for you. All you're doing is muddying the water now. And now it's, well, who's the heel and who's the face and who? And I think it's not good for our match. Credit CM Punk played along with it and must have okayed it and said, yeah, that's fine, and we'll figure it out. I don't know where they're going with this. My fear, and it's not because I fear it, because to be perfectly honest, I would think it was great. But my fear is they're going to go down that path of, I fooled all you people. You people were crying for me, thinking, oh, poor MJF. And even CM Punk came out and said, boo-hoo, is it real? You ought to have seen his face when I beat him and thumbed my nose at him and told him I made all that shit up. That could happen. If that happens, watch how quick the same fans who are saying what a great promo this is will say, this is terrible. You don't make fun of stuff like that. You watch. They'll do it. Fans, what you saw in MJF on AEW was what wrestling is supposed to be. That's what wrestling is supposed to be. And I will tell you this, more than Sammy Guevara, more than anybody else that the AEW brought up, MJF has a real shot at being a huge, long-term superstar in professional wrestling. And it wasn't just this little segment that made me say it. If you go online, you will find a tape of MJF doing an autograph signing. And there's a guy there with his 10-year-old daughter. And she's giving MJF a hard time. She's saying, you suck, you stink. And he's like, well, you're here getting my autograph. Now, he engages with her in a way, and yeah, he does use a little inappropriate language once, but he keeps it relatively calm with a 10-year-old girl. And he's actually arguing with her a little bit. And he's actually giving her the business a little bit, but he's not giving her the business to the point where he's going to upset her. He's giving her the business because he knows she's giving it to me back, and we're engaging in sort of a back and forth that's sort of entertaining. And he's rolling with it, and he's staying in character. And then at the end, when he says, all right, if you want to get your picture taken, let me get over here and get it done with. The guy says, oh, well, we're not done. I want you to sign this AEW figure or whatever. And he says, Jesus Christ, how many things do you want me to sign? So then he signs that one, and as he goes to walk away, he's like, hey, you're a grown man, and you got, like, a toy box. Your daughter is more mature than you. Your daughter is actually more mature than you. And a lot of people are saying, well, that's an insult. That was his way of actually saying, thanks for playing along with the gag. And at the end, I'm saying, hey, your daughter's kind of mature, and she did a good job. He gets it. He gets the psychological part of professional wrestling. And it's not something you can teach. I'm sorry to tell you, it's not something you can teach. Go to any wrestling school you want. They can try to teach it to you. You're either going to know, you either know it or you don't. He knows it 100%. In the ring, outside of the ring, he knows it 100%. And he is their most valuable player now. And they would be foolish to not put the belt on him. And they would be foolish not to give him the mic on a regular basis. However, they have to consider their fans, Mike. And I'm telling you, if this in any way, shape, or form, they've got a plot to have MJF say, ha ha, I fooled all you people, there's going to be backlash, and it could really, really hurt.
That's right. And what have we said for a long time? Wrestling is meant to be offensive. If this turns out to be a more offensive thing, then I say good for him, you know, because wrestling is meant to be offensive. Now, granted, the type of fans that populate AEW right now are the SJW, whatever, but they don't, and they're young, and they don't understand. You had, at one point, you had a goose-stepping kind of Nazi character, right? You had a guy who, in Skandal or Akbar, who the guy, who the commentator flat out said, oh, he, after he burned Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Oh, because of the area of the world that he comes from that he committed these acts, inferring that he's a terrorist.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and that was a very offensive thing to say at the time. So wrestling is meant to be offensive. And look, we constantly compare MJF to The Miz. And basically, they're almost the same guy minus a couple of years, right?
They're very close. The only difference that I can see, and I know The Miz has said I don't think MJF is trying to be me. The only difference I can see between the two is that The Miz clearly has this A-lister Hollywood, I'm an actor, and I have other things in the fire besides pro wrestling. I'm on Dancing with the Stars. I have my own reality show. I've been in movies. I know Hollywood people. His kind of thing is glitz and glamour, egotistical, where MJF is, I love wrestling. And I'm going to be the best regardless if I have to cheat, regardless of who I have to step on. I'm not going to be treated badly. There's only two things about this promo that worries me. One is how woke fans will take it if and when it turns out that he was sort of bluffing CM Punk to try to suck him in psychologically. Or two, and this one I actually worry about not with woke fans, two is, did it hurt his heel persona? If they don't do that, and he says, no, everything I said was real, then they better be doing this because they have some sort of a plan to eke him into being a face. Because you can't say I was picked on my whole life and I was picked on for being a Jew and I was picked on for being too small and basically I was bullied by everybody and now I'm just standing up for myself and maybe I go a little overboard when I stand up for myself because I'm so defensive and expect people to boo him. So you got to be careful of that. Don't jump the shark. If you still want him to be a heel and a damn dastardly one, then you got to say, you got to walk that thin line. So what would I do? I would do what I said. I would have him say, listen, this was just to get in CM Punk's head. But I don't renounce everything I said. 75% of what I said was real. The part that wasn't real is, I don't give a damn if CM Punk left WWE. I don't give a damn about CM Punk anyway. He wasn't even the guy I was there to really see when I had a picture taken with him. But that's his ego. See how big his ego is? He thought he affected my life. CM Punk actually thought he affected my life. He came out here because he's, oh, I affected somebody's life. He thinks he's a big deal. He's right. That was just another day to me. Then you still have him being a heel, but you still say, well, this is why he's a heel. He has some reason to be a heel. He's just meaner than he should be. And CM Punk has a reason to beat his ass now. I guess that's what you'd have to do. Unless, of course, Todd, you're turning him face, and then I guess you let it run. Which direction do you think this is going?
I would keep him as a heel until Revolution. And, not turn him heel. I would not turn him heel, like, tonight or anything. Maybe at the pay-per-view, have him turn face, and have CM Punk turn heel, do a double turn or something.
I mean, CM Punk can certainly do a good heel, Mike, but it didn't look like he was in heel mode when he came out there to ask him if it was true, so it is a little bit confusing. The one thing they have done, though, Mike, that we have always called for, as we said, if you're going to be a good heel or even a good face, there has to be a reason why you look at life the way you look. In other words, you have to have motivation. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, think I'll just be mean because I like being mean. Think I'll just be a dastardly cheater. The Miz has his reason. His ego gets damaged every time he loses, so he desperately tries not to lose to maintain that ego, which is kind of fragile. Now we know what MJF's is. He's meaner to people before they can be mean to him. So in other words, you've set up the reason. You've set up their motivation. We don't have to agree with their motivation. We may think their motivation is twisted. but they do have a motivation for the way they are.
It's the whole Lex Luthor thing. Lex Luthor wants to save the world from aliens, even though Superman's an alien and he's a good guy. But
right.
Because Lex Luthor thinks he's on the right side of the law, he's on the right side in what he does, but he's committing criminal acts to get the job done. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's Magneto, same way, right? Magneto felt well, they're going to come for the mutants. They're not going to allow us to be assimilate into society. It's us or them. Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. We now know what MJF's motivation was. I'm going to say this, though. I don't know how old he is. He's not old. There is a very, very, very small, I'll go so far as to say a minute amount of people who could deliver that promo correctly in the wrestling business at all, let alone somebody that young. A very, very minute amount of people, probably less than 10. And most of them have been at this for years and years and years and years and years. So to see someone who is able to do that with relatively little experience makes me wonder where he's going to land 8 years from now, 6 years from now, 5 years from now, when he can only get better. He's not going to get worse. He's going to be able to throw things out there and say, that was maybe going too far. Maybe I should have went a little overboard here. Maybe I should do it this way. He's going to keep correcting himself. He's going to keep getting better. And when you're that good at this age, you're looking at somebody that Tony Khan can't afford to let go. Now, I don't know if MJF is blowing smoke up people's ass when he says, I'll entertain an offer from the WWE or not, but I have a newsflash for you. He's about to become one of the highest paid professional wrestlers. When his contract comes up, he's about to become one of the highest paid professional wrestlers, maybe of his age, the highest paid professional wrestler. Because Tony Khan is going to throw all the money in the world to keep him, and Vince McMahon is going to throw a huge offer his way. You wait and see. You wait and see. Because at the end of the day, and we've told people this time and time and time again, at the end of the day, you can be mediocre in the ring. But if you can use that mic, and you can engage an audience, and you can make them care whether you win or lose, you won the game. You've won the game. I don't care if you don't have the greatest super kick. I don't care if you can do a triple corkscrew plancha. I don't care. If you can use the microphone like that and make people care whether you win or lose, Mike, you have won the game.
You have won the game. And by the way, MJF will turn 26 next month.
So he's got arguably 15, maybe 20 years in the business if he wanted to. Wow. Yeah, he is about to be, Mike, one of the highest paid wrestlers in of his age in the business.
And yes, and think about this. I've basically said that I'd love to see MJF versus The Miz. But will it happen within the next several years before The Miz decides to actually hang him up? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I would like to see it too. I think the back and forth they can have on the mic is tremendous. But you see, remember in the beginning of this show we talked about what AJ Styles could do behind the scenes for WWE and what he could do in front of the camera for WWE and how he was more valuable than just being a good wrestler. Well, this is MJF now. Because you can sit there and say to yourself, can you imagine how he could escalate a new talent if they came in and they had a halfway decent shtick on the mic? Can you imagine how good on the microphone he could do an angle if he had to fight, oh, I don't know, Daniel Bryan, who's great on the microphone? Can you imagine how good they could do with a guy like him and maybe Jon Moxley? There is so many possibilities that elevate a match that you say, I have to see. And you don't have to see it because you think, oh, my God, it's going to be a great in-ring technical match. You have to see it because you say, the buildup is going to be so freaking awesome. Look at Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's very good on the mic and very natural. A guy like MJF and Daniel Bryan could tear it up. So he can offer things. He can help elevate young talent, not by dropping to him, but just by being in the ring with him and letting him engage in some microphone backs and forth. He can have the older talent be right front and center with the young talent and help to elevate him at the same time as the, you know, giving them the fans a great build up for matches. There's a lot of stuff MJF can do that maybe isn't directly in front of the camera mic that's going to help that company in a ton of ways.
And think about this. We talk about The Miz all the time and his reality show and all that stuff. Think about this. Let's say Tony Khan goes, you know, $4, $5, $6, $10 million to, well, maybe not that much. Say $4, $5, $6 million to them over a long period of time per year for him, right? There's a chance that at the end of that contract or somewhere in the middle when he's 35, 36, 37 years old, that he could end up, like The Miz, having a reality show somewhere because he's that charismatic and that good, you know. And you're right. There are guys that do want to see him. And it's like we want to see Paul Heyman and
MVP,
MVP,
yeah.
With the mic in their hand in the same ring. We want to see that.
Yep.
That's exactly how it is with MJF and certain people. Even to a certain extent with Jericho. You know?
Yep. There's a ton of stuff that you can do with them. Now, Vince McMahon can say what he wants, and the WWE can say what they want. When MJF's contract comes up, and I'm presuming it's going to come up pretty soon because he was one of the guys that signed originally, right? And he probably didn't sign a more than a 3-year deal. There's going to be a bidding war. He's going to be the beneficiary of a bidding war because this is exactly – Vince McMahon can say what he wants about, I just want big guys, because certainly MJF's not a big guy. He can say what he wants about all of that. I'm telling you, this is the type of person Vince McMahon likes. Now, I'm not going to tell you he's going to come in here and make him a champion. He's not going to hold the heavyweight belt. I bet you he wouldn't. Because Vince McMahon also says, but you're a little small, pal. I don't think people would believe it. But he would definitely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, use him. And I got a newsflash. MJF doesn't have a 10, 15, 20 year. He could have a 30-year-plus career. And I'll tell you why. Because if tomorrow he said, I don't feel like wrestling anymore, he could become probably one of the greatest managers in the history of all time and use his mic skills to just get other guys over, Todd.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said about MJF and everything. If Vince McMahon brought him in today, he could be golden on the mic as a manager or something.
He'd probably wrestle him. He's young. But at the same time, Mike, his career could go far beyond just being a wrestler.
Oh, yes. I mean, and look, think about this. Not only could he be a manager, but he's so good on the mic that he could possibly have a career as a commentary guy.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're reasonably athletic, if you're not totally a stiff, you can teach most people at least to be a basically good professional wrestler as far as your moves. Maybe not great, but adequate. You cannot teach that. You cannot teach somebody to pick that microphone up and do what he did. You can't do it. Because you either have it or you do not have it, and that's not teachable. You could teach somebody to recite lines. You could teach somebody to act and recite the lines that you write for them. But you can't teach someone to pick up a microphone and basically say, I'm going to captivate this audience by just talking to them. You can't teach that, I'm telling you. And he's got it. So he's got a – his future is extraordinarily bright. Extraordinarily bright. Pretty much got the professional wrestling world by the ass now. So here's the things he needs to do. Don't get hurt. That's number one. Don't do stupid stuff. Don't start trying to be a badass. You're not big enough. Don't be doing cage diving and hardcore. Just don't do it. There's no need for you to do it. Keep doing what you're doing. And stoke the fat. Don't try to go out of your comfort at all. Because what you got is very special. And there's no need to try to explore anything else. It ain't broke. Don't fix it. A thing that he does that's never going to be broke, because that is a high commodity in pro wrestling. Let me give you an example. People know I'm a musician. I talk to people in the music industry all the time, and they say, so somebody's a great singer. There's a million great singers. Yeah, so somebody's a great guitar player. There's 100 million great guitar players, 100 million great drummers, 100 million great bass players, keyboard players, saxophone player, whatever you want to say. There are a dime a dozen. That's what I hear constantly. You know what else I hear constantly? If you can write a song, that is something that is valuable. If you can write and really write a song that's marketable, that's when the record companies come circling. That's when you've got yourself made in the music business, because not everyone can do that. You can't teach that. You can teach somebody to play the guitar. You can give somebody vocal lessons. You can give somebody lessons on the drums. You can't teach quality songwriting. So when a music company sees quality songwriting, they say, oh, okay, well, there's somebody who can make us some money. Same way with wrestling. What he did this week, you can't teach. That is what wrestling wants. There's a million good professional wrestlers. There's a million acrobatic guys. There's a million hardcore guys. There's not a million of that. Matter of fact, Mike, there's not very many of them at all.
There isn't very many of them. And look, a lot of people didn't think the Miz was going to be that type of guy when he showed up. You know, you're just a reality star and this, that, and the other. And then what, 10, 15 years later, where is the Miz?
And that's why his career has lasted so long, Mike. And that's, you nailed it exactly. And that's why he's almost bulletproof, because he can always talk his way back into it. Where some people, like a Cesaro, as good as he is, he couldn't talk his way back into a main event, because you're like, well, I've seen him in the main event. Now he's cycled down. And you really can't get him in a feud where he talks his way back up to the main event, because he doesn't have that skill. The Miz does. He can lose 100 straight matches. And if you said, okay, we're going to talk you back up in the next 3 or 4 weeks to a title match, he could manage to do it. That's a skill. And it's one of the top skills a professional wrestler needs. I'll take that way above being able to do a perfect super kick or a perfect plancha. I'll take it way above it. I could argue with you that if you could get Enzo Amore and MJF in the same ring with a microphone, I'd watch that for 40 minutes. I don't know if their match is going to be any good, but I got news for you. I would turn the volume up on my TV if I saw that coming, Mike.
Oh, yes. And look, think about this. You know, what has MJF been doing? You know, he's been hanging around with Wardlow, right?
Yep.
And so what if for the sake of argument, you bring in Enzo and Big Cass, well, W. Morrissey now, but Big Cass,
right,
and say, all right, we're gonna stick these two guys, these first two guys in the ring, and they're going to talk, and then their talking is going to lead to a match between W. Morrissey and Wardlow.
I got news, man. You could, those guys could talk their way through that and make that a main event. There's no question about it. And that's why I say, I know some wrestling fans get mad at me when I say that. And they say, oh, come on. We don't come to hear people talk. We come to hear people wrestle. Yeah, I get it. You come to watch the wrestling match to see who's going to win. But it's the talking that makes you decide who you want to win. Now I'm going to ask all you AEW fans a question. You can respond to me through the email, or you can respond to me on our group. Who do you want to win? CM Punk or MJF? I'm real curious. Did they do their job? Did they muddy the waters? Did they go too far? Did they jump the shark so that the bad guy's not the bad guy anymore, so it's muddy? I'm very interested. But I will tell you this. I'll bet you there's not a handful of people who actually watch AEW who don't have a preference. In other words, if you're an AEW fan, I doubt very greatly you say, I don't care who wins. I'm not really interested. No, you are interested. And you probably have an active interest in who's going to win this match. That's good professional wrestling. I don't care if I hate both guys, which I don't. I don't hate MJF at all. Not a big CM Punk fan, but he's doing his job correctly. Because every one of you people care about the ending of that match. You can't ask for more than that. I'm sorry, you can't. That's what WWE does wrong. So many of the matches you say, I really don't give one damn who wins. I admire both of the athletes, but I don't care who wins. That's always a mistake, Todd. You always should have the fans caring one way or the other about who wins.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, you got to have the fans that care about who wins or loses. It's like an investment, like emotionally involved in this.
Yeah, and Mike, it doesn't even matter if they're rooting for the bad guy. That's secondary to me. I could later on say, I wonder why they're rooting for the guy I want them to boo. But at the end of the day, as long as they really care one way or the other, it almost doesn't matter.
Right. Think about this. You're right. And think about this, Marcus. Up until this point, every time you saw MJF, how did the commentators sell him? Oh, here comes this son of a bitch.
Yep.
Here comes this asshole. Here comes this. He thinks he's the best thing, and he knows he's the best thing. That's how the commentators sell him. But after this thing, after the, as he was doing this, and after it, how did they sell him?
Right. They did their job. They did their job. So I got a newsflash. Remember, we're talking about AJ Styles getting $3 million a year in his own bus. AJ's 40-something, and he's reached that plateau where he can call his shots. He's getting a cool $3 million a year in a bus. MJF is going to have that exact same thing, and he's not even going to be 30. Promise you. Thanks for listening, folks.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.